KKR Sports Radio 550 presents.
Because you look back at the Bills' history, and I wanted to get your opinion on this. You know me. I'm a sicko. I'm a jersey collector. I'm feeling like they might go Navy.
Ew.
Sports Talk Saturday.
The worst thing you could have brought up to me right there.
Hey, remember the Bills' jerseys that kind of make you want to throw up in your mouth? Nothing good comes from that. And if any of you that is listening right now wants to defend those ugly Navy uniforms, you're wrong, and it's okay. Just get a hug from somebody.
On WGR.
Programming note, the last hour of Sports Talk Saturday is just going to be me powerbombing Joe Kelly through a table.
Sports Radio 550.
You know, it's always a question. What helmet did Josh Allen go out to the field with?
That is a good question.
For the return of the blue and red.
Does he rock the silver?
I think he rocks the Nickel City helmet verbatim.
He should. Just for funsies.
He did unprompted say, you know, stop hating on the uniforms.
I think he enjoys them.
I think that athletes ultimately don't care because that part of it does show up in the questionnaire at the end anyway. Because someone asked him, you know, do you like the Nickel City uniforms or the rivalry ones? He goes, you know, we lost in the other ones, And ultimately, that's kind of what it is. Athletes don't worry too much necessarily about it because sometimes there's bad things attached to what could be better uniforms.
Would now be a good time to say the Bills should wear the Navy for today's event?
No.
With the red helmet?
No.
And the Sabres can wear the slug in their first game?
No.
I'd be all for that. I would be all for that. You can power bomb me through this table.
Hey, Joe Kelly, how you doing?
Yeah,
he's actually Trevor Howard, Derek Kramer here.
Programming
with you on
note: this has been Joe Kelly this entire time. So sorry, Rich, who called in before. I'm kidding around. It's not Joe. Joe's off today.
But yeah, the whole thing with how like Navy uniforms and everything like that.
The road jerseys were way more offensive in the navy blue than the home ones.
Yes.
The blue shoulders for no reason.
For no reason.
What was that about?
It was bad. That's what it was. But yeah, I do wonder if Allen is just going to straight up have that helmet on, the blue helmet today. And I've got my problems with the helmet in particular. Really. The big thing about it is like move the horns up closer towards the face mask.
It looks like the Minnesota Vikings.
Because, well, also, there's just too much negative space for a Bills helmet.
Mm-hmm.
The front of it, it's just basically blue.
Yeah.
There's nothing up top. And the horns are so far back that you don't really see anything from the front side.
No.
If you push the horns up a little bit, I think you've got something a little bit better there, a little bit more cohesive. But that's what the uniforms are. It's too late.
I love the colors.
I don't mind it, but like, basically the helmet is just a zoomed up logo.
Doesn't it remind you of the old Bandit, the Bandit third jersey they used to wear? Where it was just the eyes
just
on the
zoomed
front.
In.
The orange jersey, the white numbers.
It's also a little weird.
It's newer.
And I do understand what Allen said and really the direction that the team went of like, there's only so much you could do with the same old stuff. But that said, man, it's a tough year for the uniforms at the new Highmark Stadium, by the way. You got the Nickel City twice. You have the Rivalries uniforms.
Yep.
And then they end the year with the Color Rush jerseys, which I kind of have a problem with.
I like the red, but do we need red pants to match?
That's my problem.
So it's footsie pajamas.
And that's more on the NFL than it is about the Bills. But, Trevor, the last time you're going to see the Bills' standard home uniforms this year is Thanksgiving.
That's wild.
That's it.
Wild.
Then the rest of the year, they don't have those. One of the best uniforms in football, you're not going to see after Thanksgiving.
And if you want to explain it to a hockey fan, the Sabres are going to wear their goat heads 5 times in October. The last time you'll see it, Veterans Day, November 11th.
No, this would be different. Trevor, this would be the Sabres won't wear their standard home uniforms for the final month of the season.
It's the reverse of that. Yeah, they're only going to be wearing their goat heads.
They're only going to be wearing goat heads and reverse retros for the rest of the year at home. That's what that equates to. And it's a little weird.
And then depending on if you like the Nickel City jersey or not, they're going to be wearing the Slugs twice. Is that a good comparison?
That's a good comparison.
Turburger? The yellow jersey?
Well, I mean...
No, it can't get worse than that.
No, there's nothing worse
than that.
There's nothing worse than that. I would even say comparing the Nickel City uniforms to the Turburger is disrespectful toward a uniform that I don't necessarily like.
Yeah.
But
I say it all the time whenever
somebody mentions the Turburger jersey,
that was the perfect jersey to wear in such a rough period of time for Sabres fans. Like if you're gonna be terrible, do not wear great jerseys. They did a great job with that. They wore the navy blue with the logo that they have now, and then they had whatever those yellow jerseys were with the blue on the back. Looked like they were wearing capes. The Sabres knew that they weren't very good, so they wore the worst jerseys possible. That is great marketing.
That was still an abomination.
That is amazing. Business sense.
You know what? At least for the Nickel City, like, and everyone that really doesn't like it, and it's a good healthy amount of people, unfortunately, they'll never be the Turdburger. That's the good news.
Never. Never in your life.
That is the good news. Like, I don't ever think that you're ever going to have a uniform that is that bad. And that's a good thing. Like I said, I'm a little disappointed that you're not going to see one of the best jerseys in football after Thanksgiving.
Right. The most clean uniforms.
One of the best home kits that the NFL has.
Totally.
You're not going to see it for the rest of the year after Thanksgiving.
And I might sound like an old head here, but...
Am I being a stickler about it a little bit? Yeah, but...
I don't think it's being a stickler. You're not wearing your primary uniforms until... Yeah, after Thanksgiving. You're not wearing it after
Thanksgiving. If you don't host a playoff game, we're not seeing the uniforms ever again for the year.
That doesn't make any sense. But I'm kind of old school in this way, too. Like, if they brought back whites at home, I actually endorse that. The season ticket holders for the Bills would get to see the Kelly Greens if they ever host the Eagles, the dark blues with the Patriots, the black and gold with the Saints. Like, you'd see all these different colors. I think the NHL should go back to whites at home, like the way it was, especially for season ticket holders. All you see is blue versus white.
Also because
every night.
Speaking of, you know, some of the, here we are, so fresh and so clean again. That Outkast song is never going to escape me now.
Nope. But it is a good song.
But talking about one of the cleanest kits in sports, Sabres white uniforms.
Yes, from the 1970 Sabres whites.
But even now, they've got it. They've recaptured that, and like they put it back on the ice. Take your best uniform and just use it.
Like, I went to that Senators game last year where the Sabres wore the whites at home for some reason. And I was like, is this what it was like growing up in the 90s? Like, why? I love seeing white versus red. If Dallas comes to town, white versus green. Yeah. Philly, white versus orange. Like, all you see is blue versus white.
But I do understand the idea of, like, you know, claiming your turf, everything like that. Don't make it about the other team. It's
sure.
about you.
Yeah.
And then you also wear your alternates accordingly for those sorts of things. But, yeah, it just, again... I don't want to do another uniform talk day. There's a practice on the field today. We're talking about practice a little bit. You know, we're talking about the team. We're talking about how everything's going on. But speaking of the return of the blue and red, on BuffaloBills.com, what fans need to know about the 2026 return of the blue and red at Highmark Stadium, the timeline. We're getting actually close to the timeline beginning today out in Orchard Park. 1 o'clock. So... less than an hour now. Abbott Road will be closed.
Yes.
Just so that everyone knows. Abbott Road's going to be closing at 1 o'clock. So, you know, if you've got things to do around the South Towns, pay attention accordingly. 3 o'clock.
And take Route 20.
3 o'clock. The parking lots are going to open for the public. The Bills say to make sure you have your parking pass scannable, ready to go. You know, present it to them to be ready to be scanned.
Yeah, we don't want the parking lots to be leaving Darien Lake after a country concert.
Right. 4 o'clock, security gates will open. And then 5 o'clock, ticket entries will open. 7 o'clock, of course, the practice will begin. And after practice, there will be fireworks.
It's all right there for you, BuffaloBills.com.
So, yeah, there's your timeline. So, again, if you're out in Orchard Park and you're not going today, or... if you are going today, Plan accordingly. Abbott Road will close at 1 o'clock. So just so that you know. 803-0550 is the number to call. As we get connected to our fans, it's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Go to Larry. Larry, welcome to the Sports Talk Saturday. What you got?
I would love to see the Bills rock the red helmet with the red uniforms.
Ooh, red helmets with red uniforms.
Yes. Oh. When I play Madden, that's all I do.
Larry, what color pants, though?
Red.
Oh.
Looking like the Kool-Aid man out there. No. You got to say, oh, yeah, when you kick
Larry,
down the door.
I appreciate the call. I have one thing to say, and I'm not going to disconnect you. I want you to be able to hear it straight from me. I don't want them looking like the Chiefs.
We look better than the Chiefs.
But the Chiefs, they do rock the all red, so, like, you know, that's my problem. And it's also because of the fact that, you know, the Chiefs are the Chiefs. I don't want that in my life.
But
thank you for the call, Larry. I respect it. It's something different. But what you're describing to me is the Kansas City Chiefs, unfortunately.
And Larry, growing up when I was a little kid, like...
But also, do what you want to do when you're playing games.
Oh,
like, when
totally.
You're playing a video game, you put the uniform combinations what you want them to be and have fun with it. But, like, everyone's got their thing. I appreciate the call. It just, like I said, I'm staring at the picture of Josh Allen hurdling a man in a Chiefs uniform, and it's all red.
I will say, though,
I don't need the Bills borrowing from that.
He's wearing white on white with a white helmet. That looks clean.
That's the Stormtrooper.
And that looks clean. I don't know about what I'd think about a red on red on red. But, Larry, if you are still on, I do want to say, growing up as a young child, if I was ever wearing an orange shirt, I'd have to wear orange shorts to match. I was that kid. So I don't totally disagree with you, but I think we've just kind of outgrown that, and overkill is a thing. Red on top of red on top of red, and you got to know,
it's
your in-conference rival wears red on red on red.
That's the thing, is that it's about the other team. It's not necessarily about the Bills not pulling it off, so to say. It's the fact that that's Kansas City.
Arizona, though, they
and
do
historically,
it right.
It is, it's always been Kansas City.
Arizona, white helmets, red jersey, red pants. That's clean.
Real.
Clean.
But also, the new uniforms stink. The word Arizona is too big. I don't like it. It screams Division II football.
Yes, and can we please bring back the Phoenix Cardinal, the big, giant bird on the helmet, not just like this little tiny thing on the side. Bring back the Phoenix Cardinal look with, Kurt Warner.
Honestly, just get that Arizona out of there.
Yeah.
It's too big. I don't need a billboard telling me where you're from like I'm playing Division II Arizona College.
But if this was the Tampa Bay Lightning, we get a jersey that just says cards in diagonal letters,
awful.
Right?
Awful.
Bolts.
Awful.
Cards.
Awful.
Arizona, what are you doing?
Yeah. It's a uniform. I don't need to start reading.
I don't need red, red, red either for the Bills.
Yeah,
I'm
no.
Sorry. Sorry, Larry.
Like I said, it's about Kansas City more than it is about the idea.
Mm-hmm.
And Kansas City has rocked that look since its inception.
And minus like the yellowish, like it kind of reminds me of Joe Theismann. Red on red on red too, doesn't it? But except Washington would occasionally rock the yellow pants though.
Oh yeah.
With the red stripes down the side.
Oh, okay.
Remember
okay,
that?
Okay, 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 okay. Okay. Like the burgundy that they have, and then like they did the all burgundy kits. Yeah, okay.
They've had a rich history of
I understand where you're going with that, with the Theismann quote now.
The red, red, red.
Yeah. But yeah, like I said, oh, well. We'll keep going to the phones, though. We'll go to Mike. Mike, welcome to Sports Talk Saturday. What you got?
Yeah, fellas. I was wondering if you would think the Bills would consider expanding Jackson Hawes' role to play some fullback. And what are your ideas on a red helmet, white jersey, blue pants?
Ooh,
red helmet, white jersey, blue pants. I could get down with that. That would look cool. I think you might need red trim around the numbers, though. Would make it a lot cleaner. Or if you have like red stripes running down the pants.
You know a time to try it? Christmas Day.
Sure.
Against the Denver Broncos on the road, where it has been reported by Matt Bovee, part of the It's Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast. Wow, I screwed that name up. Good for me. With Sal Capaccio. It's Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast. And of course, you know, with Channel 7. But Bovee reported that the Bills are going to be wearing red helmets against Denver
Beautiful.
On the road.
Beautiful.
blue pants with that?
Do they have like red stripes running down the side? That would make sense.
Maybe it's their standard blue pants.
That would work. That would work.
I don't know. That might be a clash. I think it's red helmet, white on white. It's a clean look. It's an easy look. That's probably the look they're going to go with.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can wear the blue socks.
Yes.
And that accents it's nice. Again, I don't want to devolve fully into uniform talk, but I appreciate that part of the call.
But if there were be a time to experiment, why not on Netflix on Christmas Day?
Yes, that's exactly.
Perfect. Jackson Hawes, though, at fullback?
In front of everybody's family. As for Hawes, I think that there's a lot that you can do with him. I think that you can easily make him an H-back.
Mm-hmm.
But he also is valued like as effectively an extra offensive lineman.
Sure.
So I wonder how much of that would actually be utilized.
And if you're at Hawes's the goal
greatest
line.
Strength is being on the line and moving linemen.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what's going to happen here with the fullback position, because obviously Reggie Gilliam had been here for so long. But
if you don't want to do the tush push with Allen, don't want to risk injury with him, why not run it out of the eye with Jackson Hawes on the goal line? He's a people mover.
That's the thing. He's a people mover. I need him up front moving those people. Those are the hardest ones to move.
But a Jackson Hawes tight end, stiff arm would go crazy.
I've got a tight end, though, that can move defensive linemen on the front of the attack.
Mm-hmm.
I need him on the line is really what I'd say about it.
But what would you do for a Jackson Hawes stiff arm on primetime television? What would you do for that? That would feed families everywhere.
It would, but also I don't need him to have the football. I've got James Cook toting the rock.
He's coming back from injury, too. Do you really want him running up the middle? You know?
Who is?
Jackson Hawes.
Hawes is coming back from injury?
Was he hurt last year?
That's news to me.
Some way, shape, or capacity?
Nope.
Oh, I was thinking of... Never mind. I was thinking of Hoyt.
Yep. So Hawes, though. Yeah, I wonder how much he could be used in H-back opportunities, but ultimately, he is a tight end on the line. He is up front, hand in the dirt, ready to go.
I'm old school. Give it to James Cook. In a goal line situation, don't risk the quarterback getting hurt.
Oh, yeah. I'm not even talking about that. Like, he was more or less looking at the blocking scheme sort of thing of, like, H-back opportunity versus, you know, and being more of a pure fullback versus being the tight end. And I think it has more to do with the fact that I like him at the point of attack on the line because that's where he specializes.
Yep. Create separation.
Because sometimes fullbacks need vision to see the holes as well to be able to attack players. And I don't need to ask that of Jackson Hawes.
Just shove people out of the way.
Here's your dude in front of you. Create the hole. Done.
Yep.
All
you got to do is find the lane.
And they've got mobile offensive linemen where they can do a lot of pulls, a lot of traps, and, you know, get to the linebackers, punish them that way as well.
And Torrens getting extended is huge for the offensive line as well.
But I do wonder how much we could see of Jackson Hawes in an H-back scenario this year. Just to get him on the field more. With the three tight end sets, anything like that.
And when would you try that in a game? You got to be up by, what, 20?
No, it's your short situations, your and ones.
Yeah, third and manageable, very short, third and very short.
Typically, you'd want second and one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Something where you're like, hey, we can tell the whole world we're running football and we don't care, we're going to beat you anyway.
Yeah.
And that's something about Brady and the running attack that has always been admirable for me.
It's the smash mouth style.
It's a smash mouth style, but it's also, we got guys that can move you. Good luck.
Expect the run. We don't care.
Expect the run. We're running it.
Cool. Catch us.
Because they did have such a good system with it under Aaron Cromer. I do wonder, again, the changes on that as well. Brady is going to be more in control of the offense at this point because Brady was calling the pass plays and he would get advisement from Cromer on the run side of things. But it is going to be different this year. That's one of the facets in which that it can be different. How will Hawes be used? Great question. Do I think I talked a little too much about Jackson Hawes now? Maybe.
You're going to see him, whether you like
it or not.
You'll
see him tonight.
You're going to see him.
You'll see him tonight, by the way. Yeah, so we'll see what happens.
It's always fun to have these type of hypothetical conversation.
803-0550 is the number to call. Mm-hmm. Anything you've got, thoughts on the Bills, uniforms, stadium vibes, anything of the sort, it's all open for you here on the table as well. By the way, you mentioned it, though, the Osiris Torrance extension. The right side of the line is locked up now between him and Spencer Brown. It is secure. You've got McGovern signed as well. It's the left side that now, heading into next year, next offseason, could have questions.
Josh's blindside.
If Dawkins is not able to get back to form, or, you know, like he looks like a player that's, you know, in his 30s, you know, heading toward the later stages of his career, you start to wonder and ask questions about that. But the right side of the offensive line is locked in. And Osiris Torrance is going to be a guy that I think lives up to the contract right away because of the fact that guard, if you're not noticed, it's a really good thing.
Yes.
When you're not noticed, it means you're just doing your job. And Torrance last year really was the epitome of that. Trevor, how many penalties do you think Torrance had through the entirety of a 17-game season last year? He started all 17.
Not many. You never heard his number? I would say less than five.
Less than five is correct.
Three. Give me three.
One.
One.
He took one penalty last year. It was a holding call.
So it's no news is good news.
No news is good news.
With guards on the field. If you don't hear their name, they're probably doing something right.
How many sacks do you think he gave up?
Less than five. Give me two.
Three.
He was right about three on the first one. Should have gone with that on the second one. But point is,
Torrance,
he does his job
very quietly, protects his quarterback, doesn't move the team backwards on bad penalties.
Earned his contract.
And for guards, it's very easy to live up to those contracts if he's playing the same way. Perfectly fine. That is not an extension that Bean has given that will possibly have questions right away, like we saw with Rousseau, like we've seen with Bernard. This is looking like one of those where you're kind of living up to it right away. Also, another guard got an extension yesterday that makes him the highest paid one. So that moves Torrance down the list already.
Yep.
From going to being the seventh highest paid guard down to eighth. Okay. Easy enough. Sometimes Bean's extensions have kind of gotten a little bit of hot water. Like I said, I mentioned Terrell Bernard, Greg Rousseau in particular. Like Shakir has a down year after the contract extension. Benford kind of starts off a little bit on the rough side of things last year.
It's never out of the ordinary.
The only one that lives up to the extension out of the five last year is James Cook.
Big time.
Making it a bargain. And now, 1 year later, the contracts that have been handed out to Taylor, Robinson, Gibbs.
Not kidding. The Bijan one.
And the league's leading rusher sitting here at like, hey, I'm making 11.5 this year. All right. So
keep working.
Torrance is probably going to lean more toward the successful side of things, though, and being able to live up to that contract. 803-0550 is the number to call. As the Bills are back in town for the return of the Blue and Red tonight, Brad Ryder will have a show at 6 o'clock until 10 p.m. If you're going today, give him a shout. Let him know what you've seen. Let him know how you feel. Let him know the experiences that you ended up with, because I'm going to be very curious. I'm going to be curious about it.
Me too.
Little old Brad. So we'll see what we get there from that show, from all of you, and hear the perspectives from the return of the Blue and Red. Derek Kramer, Trevor Howard here with you on Sports Talk Saturday. We'll be right back.
He doesn't say boo. He just comes in and works. And ever since we drafted him, you know, 3 years ago, he's just steady. And he started from game one. He's been a guy, you know, the number one thing we want to do is we want to be strong up front. We talk about that. We want to protect number 17. That's where it all starts. And so, you know, at this point, other than the left guard, we've got everyone else for multiple years. You know, was going to do our best to not lose another guard.
So fresh and so clean. Brandon Bean talking about the extension for Osiris Torrance.
Certified classic, Dandale.
Keep that going a little bit.
Yeah, dude.
There we go.
Wow.
So, the extension done for Osiris Torrance, though, it is a good thing to get that locked up. You've got the right side of the line and pretty much the interior of it taken care of. We'll see what happens here with the left guard competition. Alec Anderson, Austin Corbett, chief amongst them at this point. But four of your five offensive linemen pretty much set. Dawkins closer to his actual playing weight now after he lost some pounds. Good.
Yes.
Hopefully that means that he's back to himself this year, and you can just chalk it up as, okay, that's a one-off down year. We don't have to worry about left tackle for a little bit. That'd be nice. So we'll see what happens.
And it also helps when you have a very mobile quarterback like Josh Allen. It's just that left side does kind of scare you a little bit because that is obviously his blind spot and doesn't have eyes in the back of his head, or at least we don't know.
Allen does get out of plenty of trouble. There were a couple of plays the last year where you looked at Dawkins and you were just downright infuriated with him. Sometimes it looked like he was like not trying sometimes, or like the effort wasn't all there. And I'm never going to question the effort of a pro athlete when I know I can't do that.
It
did not have good optics, though. That was the problem.
He just got clean beat.
He got clean beat, and there's nothing that he could do about it. So it does look a little bit like maybe he gave up. Maybe he just – but it seemed like everything made sense about him not playing at his usual weight. He was a little heavier. He needed to lose some weight. He needed to get back to himself. And it kind of makes sense then. Because now it's just like you're not used to moving like that with the different frame that you had. Everything makes sense optics-wise why it looked that way. It's probably a comfort thing. Like, you're not used to it. It's an adjustment. Get back to your normal playing weight. Get back to everything that, you know, makes you you.
He's more versatile now.
Just get back to being Deion Dawkins.
Better shape.
That's all it is. Better shape means that you're going to be in ready to go.
Well, they say look good, feel good, play good.
Exactly.
Let's go.
So... and Deion Dawkins is that vibes guy. He's always a guy feeling good. So
he's always a team first guy too.
Yeah.
It's never always about him. It's always about the team first with him. So nothing to worry about.
So
with
like
him.
I said, that's what made last year so uncomfortable with him was the optics that it looked like plays that he was giving up on. And I don't think that that's the case, but it definitely, I can understand why people thought that or why it looks like that.
And you understood the fans' frustration just on plays where he just get clean beat. Allen's running for his life, has to run to the right sideline and make a crazy 20-yard sideline throw and catch. Like,
and how consistent Dawkins has been throughout his career to know far and away this was his worst year last year.
100%. And he knows it too, more than anybody else.
And he's kind of like the Mendoza line in terms of your left tackles. If you got a left tackle better than Deion Dawkins, you're set.
Yep.
You are set for life. If you got a left tackle that's worse than Deion Dawkins, you have a problem that needs addressing.
But if you do find somebody of his caliber,
Allen's
got all day to throw.
You've got enough. He's never going to win like a Protector of the Year, which he helps launch.
For sure.
He helps launch the idea of the award. He's never going to win it. He's not a top five offensive tackle in the National Football League. What he is, though, is he's damn well good enough.
100%.
And as long as he gets back to damn well good enough, that's all I need.
As long as I don't hear your name on the CBS Fox broadcast, you're doing your job.
I mean, the Texans game in particular, he gets absolutely fried left, right, and center.
Yeah.
Turns out he's playing through a concussion because he misses the next game. Next couple of games, actually, he misses, including the Pittsburgh game. But
which that could be an NFL issue on a lot of things, too.
Yes, but it was also the Bills looked like they kind of rushed him back into that game.
Yeah.
Not a great look by them. Which kind of leads me to something that I saw from Sal Mariana, Rochester Democrat and Chronicle. His takeaways from training camp. And one of the things he mentions is a little bit of a difference between this coaching staff and McDermott's.
Okay.
From Sal's article in the Democrat and Chronicle. Sal Mariana, not our own Sal. Sal Mariana, Democrat and Chronicle, saying a team source I spoke to Friday said that last year in particular, there had been some disagreements with the previous coaching staff led by Sean McDermott and the sports science and medical departments regarding the nature of how training camp operated. If you remember, the Bills suffered a bunch of injuries when they were at St. John Fisher. So it seems like he's hinting McDermott was trying to rush some guys back in training camp, and it's why injuries were so prevalent last year. Because last year there were a lot.
Yo.
Harrison.
Big time.
Harrison misses the season. Misses the preseason.
Hoyt got hurt in the Kansas City game.
Well, I'm talking more just preseason training camp in particular. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Bishop gets hurt again.
Yep.
Has to work his way back in.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot that has to happen.
Even minor injuries. Like, you get Stinger here. Ready? Stinger here. Calf strain here.
Tyler Bass.
Big time.
Bass has a hernia injury. Goes and kicks in a preseason game.
Sidelined.
And he's done for the year.
Yep.
To and all of a sudden, you do have to rely on Matt Prater.
You're giving and old man when, Prater a call.
And then when he has to miss a couple games, we are, quote-unquote, blessed with Michael Badgley, the money badger.
Of course. Of course. That does sound – that's very interesting.
It kind of makes sense why the injury front looks so refreshing this year. It's because Brady is taking his time with his players. He's trying to make sure – hey, if you're out, take a couple extra days. You know, Deion Walker, he has to get the elbow brace custom fitted for himself.
Right.
If it's last year, does he end up practicing without it and then really aggravates it?
My question
is, if McDermott's still here, is it a different thing? This is the – I mentioned it in the first segment of the show, right, Trevor?
Yep.
What is this year?
This year?
Fact-finding.
Fact-finding. Well, this year, in order to do that – everybody's got to be healthy.
But ready? This is one of the things we're finding out now. There is a difference in the coaching staff already.
Mm-hmm.
There is a difference in how injuries are being handled. There is already something that we're looking at and going, this is different. This is new. This is something that I'm not used to, is not seeing a bunch of injuries in training camp.
And are we embracing this change?
And with what Sal Mariana had to say about this, I'm not going to dispute it.
It sounds like some of the skeletons are being found.
Evidence
here.
Tracking on a source like this. And Sal putting it out there, you know what? Hey, I'm not going to dispute it. I'm not going to disagree with it because it tracks. It makes sense.
And how does it benefit the team to rush somebody back from an injury in training camp? A question guys that I've been asking for years.
Guys do have to win jobs, and you want to make sure that they have the availability in order to do so. So I do understand that premise of it, because that's also the players wanting to rush back too.
Yeah, they don't want to miss time.
And a coaching staff might sometimes be like, okay, yeah, get up, get back in there. You're good? You're good? Okay, good.
How many fingers? Yeah, you're good. Get back in
there. Whereas with this, it might look like, no, we're going to take an extra moment. We're going to take an extra beat. We're going to wait a moment here. Some of it also has to do with luck.
Hmm.
You don't pick up a bunch of injuries in training camp without luck.
Well, the Bills had the rabbit's foot last week with some of the injury scares. And
right.
Oh, Gardner my goodness
Johnson
gracious.
Carted off with the towel wrapped over his head.
Yeah. As soon as the towel goes over the head.
He's back at practice within a week.
It's insane. The four-leaf clovers were out. The lucky rabbit's foot was there.
Yeah, it's refreshing, though, magic, to know. It's refreshing to know that at least through the first part of camp, they're good right now.
Knock on wood.
Aggressively.
Very, very much so.
Because here's the thing. Training camp's only done at Fisher. Preseason and training camp as a whole is not over. It's just the portion of Fisher.
Right.
That's done. They're going to have training camp practices with the Cleveland Browns.
Yep.
Next week, or not next week. The week after. We're not out of anything yet. We have yet to play a preseason game.
It's August 8th.
It's August 8th.
Season starts when? September 8th? Something like that.
Oh, later than that this year.
Got a whole month before week one.
This year, Trevor, the season starts September 13th.
Wow, yeah. You got about five?
The NFL regular season starts on September 9th.
Okay. Yep. So you get the Bills Thursday don't night game
start,
on the 9th.
Bills don't start until September 13th. So yeah, we have yet to
weeks,
play a game.
5 weeks of this stuff.
Again, we're talking about practice. That's going on tonight. There's the other practice in front of the fans on Tuesday morning at the stadium. So we have a long way to go.
I'm not saying bubble wrap anything. But
the first portion and wrapping up at Fisher, coming away with a lighter list helps.
Yes, big time.
Last thing I need is to start turning into the San Francisco 49ers, who every other year are devastated by injury.
And to the worst positions possible.
And now even this year, it looks like it's coming back. The 49ers won despite all those injuries last year. But it seems like every other year, the 49ers themselves in particular they get devastated to a point where they can't win.
Yes.
Like, they're overwhelmed by the injuries, and they end up with, like, six wins.
And even years back, like, when you talk about the Niners, just years back, great players losing them to injury, retiring early. We all remember Patrick Willis.
Right.
They've been dealing with this stuff for a long
time. Anthony Davis walking away, too, like a stellar guard.
Quentin Patton taking that head injury. I think it was against the Chargers maybe 10 or so years ago back. That kind of – he was never the same after that helmet-to-helmet hit. Yeah, they dealt with a lot. And then, of course, the injury in Annapolis down in Naptown, Indianapolis, Indiana. Andrew Luck. We all know about that stuff. And, yeah, I mean, you are blessed in this Buffalo market here, especially after last week. You see the towel go over the head, and you're like, what's happening with C.J. Gardner?
Bills need a new safety again.
What is happening? As soon as that towel goes over the head, you're like, oh, no, it's never been more over.
What do you say we take a timeout? Come on back. Wrap up hour number two. Tim Graham will join us at 1 o'clock, by the way. He of Tim Graham, Brad Ryder, on our middays at 1 o'clock. But we'll talk to Tim, catch up with him, see what he's got up and planned here for the Bills as they are at practice tonight at Highmark Stadium. Again, the return of the blue and red. 803-0550 is the number to call, and we'll go around the NFL as well a little bit in the next hour in addition. Derek Kramer, Trevor Howard here with you. Dan Dale on the board. This is WGR. Last segment of hour number two here on Sports Talk Saturday. Derek Kramer, Trevor Howard here with you. Dan's on the board. As the return of the blue and red later tonight, we'll talk to Tim Graham at the top of the hour at 1 o'clock. Brad Ryder will have a show at 6 o'clock as well tonight. Taking your calls, let us know how the experience is for you if you're out there and at the stadium tonight. It'd be nice to know. Abbott Road, by the way, will close at 1 o'clock.
Yes. Traffic guy right here telling you. I did see that information also. Abbott Road closed at 1.
Lots will open at 3.
There's your 10-minute warning.
Lots will open at 3 o'clock. And then gates will start to open between 4 and 5.
There's your itinerary. It's all there for you on BuffaloBills.com, too.
Yes, they have the what fans need to know for tonight's blue and red scrimmage. So, Trevor, I'm sure you saw this.
Am I ready for this?
Regarding Akron football.
I did not.
Really?
Did not see this. But I did have one of my high school buddies, he college grad from Akron. He was a fellow Zip.
So, is he a season ticket holder for the Akron Zips?
I think he actually might be.
Because the Akron Zips have a promotion going on.
Oh,
make history and be the lucky season ticket holder to design the opening drive of the home opener when the Akron Zips host Robert Morris. So they're letting a season ticket holder help script with the head coach, Joe Moorhead, help script the opening 10 to 15 plays of the offense.
This is a Twitter keyboard warrior's dream.
Moorhead saying, initially I thought this was ridiculous. Once the shock value wore away, we discussed some benefits. And now you see it spoke for itself. It's a unique opportunity that's created a lot of positive publicity for our program. Now that said, there's something also, I really like this quote as well, from Andrew Goodrich with Akron. Quote, college football hasn't been a ton of fun over the past 6 months. Tell me where that lie is. From jersey sponsors of like, oh man, having the jersey patches on these college programs and, you know, like, I'm pretty sure Kansas has like a Bitcoin.
Yeah, they do.
On their uniforms
and
now.
And nothing about the transfer portal is remotely fun to the
nothing
fans
about
either.
Right. And then there's, you know, there's a player that took part in Brown's minicamp that is returning to Texas.
Yeah. What are we doing here? Hook him, by the way.
Yeah, good job, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
So, but, you know, there's the lawsuit about, you know, the Brandon Sorsby case, everything like that. The new lawsuit about, you know, the class, the freshman of 2022 getting an extra year of eligibility, even when they've graduated and moved on and even took part in a pro minicamp.
Yep.
That should immediately be a no-no. Able to come back. Like, there's so much going wrong with college football. Like, the SEC threatening to branch off and make its own thing. Like,
this thing with Akron, though, Akron, where do they benefit from this? Like,
so what do you do? What you get is a lot of fun with this. You also get a lot of season ticket holders all of a sudden for the Akron Zips.
Very true. It's all about the money.
What you also are seeing is a bunch of Robert Morris fans acquiring season tickets for the Akron Zips, hoping to script the first 15 plays of a game against Robert Morris.
Fake punt pass, first play of the game.
To sabotage them.
Fake punt pass, or I don't know, a Philly special right out of the gate.
But it is one of the funnier things that I've seen, and the memes about it have been glorious.
I might do it. I might throw my, I don't know.
Throw your seasons in?
I don't know if I want to be a season ticket holder for the Akron Zips. But I would like to run every single play out of the Wildcat, see if that would work.
Remember, you only get 10 to 15 plays. You get the opening script.
That's fine. I'll just run a jet sweep 15 straight times. Robert Morris is not stopping that.
We'll see if a play Tim Graham wants to call on that sort of thing. We can ask him that coming up on the other side. Sports Talk Saturday rolls on here. Tim Graham coming up next on the other side here. Derek Kramer, Trevor Hauer, Dan's on the board, and with your updates this afternoon on a
gloomy,
decent,
cloudy
Saturday.